Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On today we have Zach Schuler, who is the founder and CEO of Nugeo. And so Zach, welcome today. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely. So I see you there at home with all your nice backgrounds and scholarly looking books and whatever in the background there. But welcome today. And your background is as serial entrepreneur is how yourself kind of listed right on your LinkedIn profile. How many companies have you started?
So I would say 2.5. So this is my second company, second full-blown company. I started my first when I was 21. Uh-huh. It was an MSP, grew it to about 100 employees, sold it in 2013 to a private equity group. Then my dad had his own business and wanted to sell it. And so we went through the process of selling that. It was my second exit, more on behalf of him than on behalf of myself. And then started Nugeo in July 15th of 2015. I had the idea of Nugeo, and we launched in 2016. So really kind of my third go at it.
Yeah, so this company, Nugeo, is you do, what is it that you do for products?
We do cyber security awareness training.
Awareness training. How big is the company? Do you do that? Have you?
I think we've got about 17 employees now.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. And what do you what do you say defines what you do versus anybody else or?
Yeah. So I can just tell a quick story. You know, I've been in the IT industry since 1995. So for a decent number of years. And in my old business, anytime I would see a breach happen, it was due to human error. And so I kind of said to myself, well, how do we go about fixing human error? Right? What do we do? And when I kind of had the idea that I wanted to do something about that, I went onto YouTube and I typed in security awareness training. And the first thing that I came across was a 45-minute long death by PowerPoint where the lecturer covered 14 topics in the first 10 minutes. And immediately what went through my head was, this is being done as a check the box exercise. Nobody's actually learning anything, and anything that they might learn, they're not going to retain 2 days later. And so I want to flip the script on how people are educated. And so that's what we did. And the way that we did it was we said, we're going to do 3 to 4 minute long animated episodes that are based on actual cyber attacks and actual scams that are currently going on. The person who writes for us is a gentleman by the name of Bill Haynes. Bill is a former writer for Hawaii Five-O, the new series, and CSI New York. And so we have a true Hollywood writer that's writing all of our episodes for us. We release a brand new one every 30 days. And we're in February of 2020. We just released our 50th episode. And in every episode, we focus on a single attack vector. So we've only got 3 to 4 minutes with the viewer. We want to make sure that they understand that one topic that they're talking about. And our goal really is to emotionally engage the viewer in the first scene of every episode that we do. And that's how we've done it differently.
Hmm. So what's your background? What got you to wanting to do businesses, being cybersecurity? You know, how did you decide you like this industry?
I got into the IT industry, or I got my passion for the IT industry when I was 12 years old. And my dad had a business, and he computerized his business, you know, before many people did. And And, you know, I just got interested in it through him. And then I had a friend in junior high school that was a kind of a computer geek, and it was a weird balance, right? Because back then, if you were a computer geek, you really had to be kind of like in the closet, like a closet computer geek, because if, you know, I did that and I was a skater at the same time, right? So if anybody found out that I was into computers, I would have lost my popularity really quickly. But, you know, I've just been into tech since I was 12 years old, and then started my first company when I was 21. And, you know, got my Microsoft Certified Systems Engineer degree or certification after graduating from Cal State Northridge with a degree in business emphasis on marketing. Mm-hmm. And I've just loved technology ever since. And unfortunately, when you're in tech, you know, 10 years ago, cybersecurity started to get pretty important. Mm-hmm. And so you couldn't ignore it.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
Let's take a break, hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back in a minute.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. Today, talking to Zach Schuler, the founder of and CEO of Ningio. And Zach, you were talking before the break about your background. A skater, huh? Interesting. and then migrating to cybersecurity, but you said something that I wanna ask about, with a minor in marketing.
Emphasis in marketing, yeah.
Emphasis in marketing. That is an unusual balance for somebody that's in technology to be in marketing. Usually they're like polar opposites. And
that's
we don't
right.
even talk to those people. So
that's right.
that is very interesting to me. How do you say, taking from my marketing background, what is different about approaching cybersecurity with that outlook than the way you see it done by most cybersecurity people?
Well, look, most cybersecurity people have an engineering background. Mm-hmm. And if they went to school, they probably studied computer science or, you know, something of that nature, because they were interested in it. I was interested in it, but I did not want to be a computer programmer. It was not my passion. My passion's business. And I think for any business, you can create the best product or service in the world, but if you don't know how to sell and market it, it's just going to sit there and no one's going to ever know about it. And so going into marketing was kind of a natural thing for me. And so yeah, the way that we market Ningio is, I would say, you know, different than others. And I think we have an exceptional marketing strategy, mm-hmm. you know, behind the business. And that's led to, you know, growth that's been at minimum in our worst growth years, 50% year over year. And, you know, it's... you know, I'm just different that way. I've got a love and a passion for tech, but I've got a pedigree in business.
Yeah. So who's your target when you're marketing? Who's your target kind of demographic that you market to?
Well, that's a big. It depends on what the campaign is, right? Mm-hmm. We've got multiple marketing campaigns that are going on. But if we talk about really what our sweet spot is, it's kind of the upper mid market to the low end of the enterprise. So we're talking about organizations with, you know, anywhere from 5 to 50,000 employees, 5,000 mm-hmm. to 50,000 employees.
Are you addressing, are you addressing middle management, upper management, CEOs? Where's your doorway into who you talk to get to spend the money?
Great question. It's the chief information security officer. And what's interesting about that is that we're selling training, right? Mm-hmm. So in almost every other circumstance, when training is being sold to the HR department. We almost never talk to the HR department. Now they will vet our training and make sure that it's appropriate for the organization. Mm-hmm. But the sale is always going up through the chief information security officer. Sometimes we're talking to that individual, we hope to be. And sometimes the CISO has put somebody in charge of security awareness training, and sometimes we're talking to them.
Okay. So other than training, I'm just picking your marketing brains what I'm doing. You said you did a couple other security companies, managed security. Who was your target for marketing in other than training with services and stuff? Was it I've heard people say CFO is sometimes the best way to go into a company.
Yeah, I think it depends on what you're doing. So in my former life, I had a managed services provider that was focused on basically, you know, if you had to categorize it in simple terms, it was outsourcing, you know, small and medium sized businesses outsourcing their IT support mm-hmm. to us. And many times those organizations did not have a chief information officer. They would have a CFO. Mm-hmm. And the CFO is a lot of times the person that we would be dealing with and the person that we would be marketing to, because we could very easily make the argument that it's much more efficient to, in the SMB world, to outsource your IT to a managed service provider than it is to try and hire your own internal staff.
Okay.
And, you know, obviously when you talk about money, the CFO is the one that you might be talking to.
So now, those two people, you've addressed the CIS or Chief Information Security Officer or the CFO. What's your approach marketing-wise to get their attention, to get that conversation?
Yeah, so, I mean, my most recent experience is marketing to the CISO. And the beauty about our service is it's a tangible service. It's a service offering, but it's real easy for us to send out a message. We do a lot of work through LinkedIn, and we send out a quick little message with a link to one of our episodes. It's only 3 to 4 minutes long, and a CISO could watch that episode, and they will almost immediately just get it. Like, they'll say, oh, I understand what you're doing and how you're going about training people and how it's so different. And so, you know, LinkedIn has been great for us. We do a ton of thought leadership. We have a magazine coming out in 2 weeks. It'll be our first magazine, called Aware Magazine. I'm all over the internet talking about, you know, things like neuroscience and cybersecurity and you know, that sort of stuff. And that a lot of time piques the interest of the CISOs that we're focused on.
Interesting. So it's just an awareness campaign, much like what we're doing here, right? More of the awareness campaign and neuroscience and cybersecurity. So I've seen, and I think that's how we caught up with you. We saw some of your posts on neuroscience and cybersecurity. Explain what it is that you look at there that helps to get people's attention. What's your process?
So one of the first things that we did and that we took note of is the fact that the human attention span is down 33% from the year 2000 to 2014. That was a Microsoft advertising study that was done. And when the pundits would opine, everybody would say that social media is to blame. We now take information in bits and bytes as we scroll through our phone, and we're essentially rewiring the brain and giving us a form of ADD. And so I figured out that we have to, if we're going to educate people on cybersecurity, we're going to have to do it in a way that's attention grabbing. And so we're very intentional in our process, such that A, our content's written by a Hollywood writer that I've already mentioned. B, we emotionally engage the viewer in the first scene of every episode. And so in the first scene, there's something dramatic that is happening or is about to happen. Mm-hmm. And so neuroscience, the research that we've done, has said that for training to be successful, it has to be engaging, and people also have to form habits around it. And Zig Ziglar has a quote whereby he says that something around, you know, the mother of learning, or frequency is the mother of learning. Mm-hmm. And so you know, through our methodology, the Ninjo methodology, you get an episode the first week of the month. The second week of the month, you get an infographic. The third week of the month, you get an what we call our anchoring cartoon. The fourth week of the month, you get a poster advertising the new episode. And so we're constantly like drip marketing security awareness to our end users, and they start to form habits and they start to form digital identities as a result of going through this process. Okay. We all have a physical security identity today. What do I mean by that? I'll prove it to you. And I'll ask you a question, even though I know you're supposed to be asking me the questions. But
hold on a minute. We got to hear from our sponsors, but this is the something we want to hear about when we get back. We're right back.
Okay. All right.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today with Zach Schuler, the founder of CEO Ninjo, and we are talking about physical identities. We went right before the break, and the digital identity. And you were going to do an example on me.
So my example is when you leave your house for the day and you go to work, what do you do? What's the last thing that you do when you walk out of the front door?
You close it and lock it, right?
You close it and you lock it. Do you have to think about doing that?
I don't.
No, it's instinctual, right? You get in your car, you park in a busy parking lot when you go shopping, you get out of your car, you close the door, what do?
You hit that little button, beep, beep.
Do you have to think about doing that, or is that an instinct?
That's an instinct.
It's an instinct, okay? So through habits, we have created within Chris a physical security identity. That's part of your identity, is safety, right? And so with Ninjo, we're doing the exact same thing, but in the digital world. Mm-hmm. And so right now, for most people, when they get an email, they have an instinct to click on a link that's within the email. That's their instinct. Their instinct, when they get an email and it's got a Word doc or a PDF doc, their instinct is to open it, right? That's your instinct.
And so you're changing that instinct?
We're rewiring the brain through our methodology so that when you get an email, your instinct is to look at that email with a slight bit of suspicion. Is this real? Mm-hmm. Is it from, if it's from an outside person, hopefully the organization has it tagged, right? And so we want to create discipline so that the instinct is not to click, the instinct is to inspect, right? Mm-hmm. The instinct is not to open the attachment, the instinct is to inspect the attachment. Who did it come from? What's it about? Am I expecting to get this? And so instead of being what I used to call a click monkey, which is someone just gets an email and click, click, right? And they go for it. We want to rewire people's instincts so that they're inspecting this stuff before they're just clicking on it.
Now I'm thinking about this, and I remember early days of email, that was a pretty big instinct. But now I think there's a new dynamic happening that I can only refer to as the Twitter effect, where there's no way you're going to open every email because you just get too many. So I'm spending my time more figuring out which email is a valid one to even open. Mm-hmm. And I've departed from the click monkey to being, I'm only looking for active things that I know I'm expecting almost half the time. What do you think about that new kind of, and I see a lot of people coming, going to this, where your, you know, our email feeds, as soon as you get a new email address, it only takes registering at the grocery store once or twice, and you're on 10 mailing lists.
Yeah.
And you start to go away from that, even opening emails, to being selective engagers of email. Well, how do you think that's changing the psychology around this?
It's hard for me to opine on that. And the reason is, and I'm not going to plug a particular company in this case, but I have an application in my email where anytime it's a marketing email or it's something that is, you know, from a list that I signed up on or anything like that, it puts it into a completely separate bucket. It segregates it right out of my inbox.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything that I have in my inbox is something I'm supposed to have there that's either an FYI or it's actionable. Hmm. It's not a piece of junk. And so it's hard for me to say, but I know exactly what you're talking about because I did live in a world where I didn't have that feature. Right. And so you're constantly, at least I was constantly having, you know, one finger on my scroll button on my mouse and the other finger on my delete key. Mm-hmm. And I would click on an email, and the second that I saw that it was something that was marketing that had nothing, that I had no interest in, I deleted it. And I was at one point in time the king of deleting emails, and I had a philosophy of email that you never go to sleep with a single email in your inbox. And I followed that for many, many, many years. I've gotten off of that in the last year just due to the volume, but I think that's a good habit to have.
Hmm. Yeah, and I would say I've gone to every one of my emails. I open it up, and there's 10,000 unread from over the last couple of years. There's just no way I'm going to keep up with it in one email, more or less five or six of them that I have. But, you know, I'm looking at that headline, and I think there's another psychological neuroscience thing that kicks in that I've done research on, and that's I see the message, and I don't bother with it or click on it because I'm reminded of how I'm supposed to feel when I see the message. And cybersecurity is one of those topics that says, oh, I remember when I see cybersecurity in a topic line of my training that I'm not supposed to click on things I don't know. So I don't even open an email. Or I'm reminded that, oh, that could be somebody that's trying to hack me, so I'm going to totally avoid it. And there's a psychological impact of I totally avoid cybersecurity topics because of that negative thought process around even the topic and reading a couple lines of the subject.
Okay. So, it sounds like, it sounds like digital security has kind of become part of your identity.
I would say not just that, but I'd say this is an effect that happens to a lot of people. They don't engage with certain topics because of the feeling they get with looking at it, and that makes them skip the email.
Yeah, I would slightly and respectfully argue that I don't think your statement of that is how it is with a lot of people. I think that a lot of people who are you're a type A personality and, you know, you're on the go and you're aware of things, but a lot of people are at work. They're there for 8 hours. They're just there to do their job and go home. And they don't scrutinize the stuff that comes across their inbox. And they don't have a lot of marketing fluff that comes through their inbox because they're not using their work email address to sign up at the grocery store, right? And so you envision a corporate employee where 95% of the email that's hitting their inbox is something that's actually relevant to them, something that they either need to know about or they need to act upon, right? And so in those instances, that's where the hackers are trying to insert themselves into creating an email that looks relevant, looks actionable, and makes the end user want to do something, right? And we're again, let me remind you, we're not talking about you and me as the entrepreneurs that get millions of different emails from all different sources every day. We're talking about your average employee sitting in front of their desk at work, clocking in and clocking out, right? That's the target audience. Mm-hmm. And most of those folks are only getting work emails because they work for large corporations. And those large corporations are filtering out all the marketing fluff, you know, to begin with, so even if they have used their corporate address to sign up on stuff.
Fair enough, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm thinking more of like social media consumer markets with how people engage, because we've done some research in that area. And the placebo got more hits than cybersecurity topics and social media.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really, you know, consumer email. Like, so when the user goes home and they open up their Gmail account, right, how are they reacting to that?
Yeah.
And that's where they'll have those thousands of emails. I mean, if I were to look at my Gmail account, which I almost never do, I've got, you know, 30,000 unread emails. I just don't really use that account to do anything but to sign up on something.
Yeah. So the now when a link comes in, is it a, you know, it sounds like you got a gamification thought process here with making, you know, getting people to engage. The almost like a, maybe it's fun. You know, they don't get very many fun things come through the door at work, so this is going to be fun. Is that, and that's kind of the approach that you're thinking is the psychological engagement.
Absolutely. And we have so much anecdotal evidence and so many testimonials that say, you know, I look forward to getting my Ninjio episodes because it's a 4-minute break out of my workday, right? They get to engage in a story and learn something. Part of our offering is what we call friends and family use rights. Mm-hmm. And so an employee at a corporation has the ability to actually go to a URL, they get a code, and they can sign up to 7 friends and family members to receive our latest episode on a monthly basis as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really trying to take a holistic view of security awareness and not only, you know, target the employee at work, but target their spouse and their kids at the same time. And Gartner, the world's largest research organization, has said that we've got the only content on the planet that can apply to people at work and really kind of equally apply to them at home as well. And at the end of the day, you get phished at work, you get phished at home, you get ransomware at work, ransomware at home. And so when we take this holistic view of it, it's really helping to create that digital security identity that we talk about.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it. So it's almost like, make it like a cartoon strip that you get every day. And I'm trying to think of the name of that cartoon that's about The Office. Is it? Oh.
Dilbert?
Dilbert, yeah. So make like a Dilbert. Everybody's getting their Dilbert every day by email.
Right.
Sounds like that's what we're talking about here. Kind of
a neat little twist
on, you know, here's a way we're getting everybody's attention. And
that's right.
And oh, by the way, they're learning something also.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Well, the interesting approach. How would kind of in wrapping up here, how would people engage with you that wanted to try this out, or companies that wanted to look at your service? How would they get a hold of you?
Yeah, I mean, it's simple. Ninjio.com, Ninjio.com. Right at the top, there's a button that says watch episodes. We're very liberal about just letting people hop on. And, you know, if you kind of peruse through the site, we've got 3 or 4 full-length episodes that are up there for public viewing. And we're very liberal about, you know, not gating a lot of our content, whereas a lot of other providers are like, hey, give me your information and then I'll send you some stuff. Go to our website. You can check it out. Go to our YouTube channel, Ninjio, Ninjio.com. Or Ninjio on YouTube. You search for that, you'll come up with our Ninjio YouTube channel. We got a lot of content up there. And, you know, just about at every part of our website, you can submit an inquiry, and then, you know, one of the folks on our team will reach out and tell you more about what we're doing.
All right. Well, thanks for joining today, Zach. Definitely been a pleasure, and an interesting approach you have to kind of engaging people on a fun way to learn a little bit about cybersecurity, at least the awareness training. Thanks.
All right.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Chris. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert. Just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.